Barack Obama says he has decided on a vice presidential candidate. He just hasn't told us who it is yet. Republican John McCain staffers say he has not settled on his pick. McCain is expected to announce his choice next weekend. Dick Cheney has been the most powerful vice president in recent memory. And the next number two, whether Republican or Democrat, is unlikely to wield quite the influence over foreign policy that Cheney has. The World's Matthew Bell explains.
Critics have called him Darth Vader. Cheney and his wife, Lynn, seem to have had some fun with that, though.
I asked Lynn the other day if how she felt about me being called Darth Vader, and she said, well, it humanizes you.
So is the nickname really fair?
Well, I think that Darth Vader would probably be a little insulted.
John Nichols is the author of the book, Dick, the Man Who Is President.
One thing to understand about Dick Cheney is that he has always fostered the image of him as a very hard-edged, very tough guy who doesn't play nice with the media and doesn't play nice with his political foes.
Nichols says Cheney came into the White House as the dominant player in U.S. foreign policy.
He really set up the administration, made many of the initial hires, and it is fair to say that after September 11th, defined the direction of the administration for much of the remainder of the first term.
There are precedents for modern vice presidents to play an active role in foreign affairs. For example, President Eisenhower suffered from some health problems during the Cold War days of the 1950s, so he started grooming the vice president as a potential commander-in-chief. Historian Robert Dalek says Richard Nixon became a foreign policy player on the basis of two episodes in particular.
One was what was known as the kitchen debate with Nikita Khrushchev in Moscow, when they debated the virtues of capitalism versus communism. And then Richard Nixon, on a trip to Latin America in 1958, was spat upon, stoned, and nearly bodily harmed in Caracas, Venezuela. And he stood up to the rioters with a measure of courage that gave him credibility as a foreign policy leader.
Dalek says vice presidents before Nixon were generally considered to be inconsequential figures, especially on foreign policy matters, but several of them since then have been given big responsibilities in that arena. Walter Mondale, George H.W. Bush, and Al Gore stand out as examples. Robert Dalek says that Richard Nixon set another enduring precedent as Eisenhower's VP.
Nixon was the hatchet man, and during the campaigns of 52 and 56, he played the role of the fierce partisan, and particularly on foreign policy issues.
Republicans have tried to paint Democrats as weak on national security ever since. We don't really know whether Barack Obama and John McCain are choosing their VP candidates based on their foreign policy credentials, or if they're doing so based on his or her ability to win over undecided voters in a few swing states. If that's what's going on, it's a real problem, says political scientist Jack Pitney of Claremont McKenna College.
I think of an episode of The West Wing in which staffers in the Bartlett White House were worried that the then vice president in the series was a political liability, and they asked why is he on board? And President Bartlett wrote the answer on a piece of paper, because I could die.
So what does Dick Cheney's legacy mean for the next vice president? Author John Nichols says it's important to keep in mind who's really been in charge during the past 8 years.
George Bush was someone who ceded an immense amount of authority to Dick Cheney in the first term, and then, frankly, it's quite evident, took a portion of that authority back in the second term. And I don't think that John McCain or Barack Obama would ever cede that much authority. I also believe that the Cheney vice presidency will become, in the long term, a cautionary tale.
Nichols says that's because Cheney's reputation as a Darth Vader figure has hurt President Bush's legacy. He says Cheney has projected strength on foreign affairs, but that very fact might have caused the president to seem weak by comparison. And no commander-in-chief wants that. For The World, I'm Matthew Bell.